Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
State of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Hinners, and you're listening to Hour One of the show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
Okay, I hope this didn't work today. I decided that today I was going to run my show out of my porch outside, since the weather is absolutely gorgeous out here. You can probably hear some lady mowing her lawn in the next yard over, but that's okay. It's like about 73, 74 degrees outside. The breeze is blowing a little bit. The sun is shining. It's absolutely gorgeous here. Kind of weather that we waited all winter long for. Finally showed up. Now we're going to start getting people calling for global warming in earnest, because it's starting to warm up now. That's something that happens every year, I think. Apparently, Andrea Mitchell didn't watch the full press conference this last week regarding the Las Vegas shooting execution of two police officers. If you've probably heard, the police officers stated that the shooters put the Gadsden flag and the swastika on the cops after they executed them. So on Tuesday, Andrea Mitchell asked her guest if the Las Vegas shooting happened because we have a black president, referring to Nazi ideology of the shooters. And here is what she said.
Law enforcement can get involved, it's really too late, either because there was no way to tell what they were going to do, or in a case like Las Vegas, it happens after there are already fatalities.
We certainly saw this all the way back with Waco and when Bill Clinton was president, but to what extent, and this is a sensitive question, but I need to ask it, but to what extent was this, did this escalate because we have an African-American president? Because there are so many racist,
yeah,
you know, sentiments interwoven with their Nazi sentiments, neo-Nazi.
It's a very difficult question. It's hard to know anyone's particular motives always, especially someone that carries out this kind of activity. But the Southern Poverty Law Center, who you mentioned, has tracked that these types of anti-government groups have risen 800% since Obama took office. And if you look at some of the rhetoric on the right, it's not all motivated by race. Bill Clinton dealt with some of the same stuff, and he's obviously a white man from Arkansas. So it's not all race, but for some people it probably is a role.
Well, here's the thing. According to the police, now if Andrea Mitchell would have done her homework like media people are supposed to do in the first place, she wouldn't have ever asked this question. Because according to the police, the shooters were not Nazis or white supremacists. They believe the shooters put the swastika on the cops because they believe the police are associated with the Nazi movement. One of the things that is that we believe with the swastika is that we don't necessarily believe that they are white supremacists or associated with the Nazi movement, is what they said. We believe that they equate government with law enforcement with fascism, and those who support it with Nazis. In other words, they believe that law enforcement is the oppressor and they're associated with the Nazi movement. Earlier in the chip, before I started on that clip, the officer suggested that the shooters have an ideology, quote, along the lines of militia or white supremacists, unquote. But then they turn right around and suggest, believe the shooters are white supremacists. I'm not sure why they threw the former in just to discount it a little bit later. But if you look at what's surrounding the case, I believe the police have it right in that the shooters had a radical hatred of law enforcement and government to the point of extremism and decided to take it out on those two unfortunate cops. If Andrea Mitchell would have done her job, like I said a couple minutes ago, she probably would never have asked that question. Well, maybe she would have. She's a liberal after all. But it's just like all the other liberals in the mainstream media, if they would just do their homework like they are supposed to. At least that's what I'm thinking. You are listening to this episode of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, me, Robert Garding, and we are glad you are here on this June the 14th of 2014. We're glad you are here today and hope that you like what we have put together for you as we strive to bring you the events that are shaping America, mostly in the wrong way anymore. We keep wanting to see, a lot of people want Hillary Clinton to be the next president. And if you know anything about this woman, she is nothing more than another Obama in a pantsuit. Seriously. Hillary will continue the same Israel-hating policies if she's elected president. And this from the Free Beacon, where it says the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton accuses Israel of being an occupying force in her new memoir, Hard Choices, and then claims that the Jewish state denies, quote, dignity and self-determination, unquote, to Palestinians in the West Coast. Well, in the West Bank, well, we seem to forget that 20 years ago, Palestinians didn't exist. They were not, they were a non-entity, and they only became Palestinians when they decided they wanted a country of their own. Clinton recalls being surprised by what she termed, quote, life under occupation for the Palestinians, unquote, according to the book. Pro-Israel officials and insiders on Capitol Hill have called Clinton's comments tone deaf and said that her claim that Israel is an occupying force reveals a bias against the Jewish state. But here is what Clinton writes. He says, when we left the city and visited Jericho in the West Bank, I got my first glimpse of life under occupation for Palestinians who were denied the dignity and self-determination that Americans for granted. That was Clinton. Clinton goes on to take aim at the Netanyahu government for not returning land to the Palestinians that she claims has been occupied by Israel since 1967. Like I said, folks, Palestine didn't exist then. Clinton is referring to the territory seized by Israel in the 1967 Six-Day War, in which Egypt, Jordan, and Syria attacked Israel from every side in a bid to destroy the Jewish state. And, of course, with this little bit of information there, that Israel was attacked by Egypt, Jordan, and Syria to destroy her, it's Israel's fault for being there. I do not understand the way these people, these liberals think, but that's just what they think. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Clinton claims, is not serious about the peace process, although she is the one that the liberals are saying is going to be our next president. Believe me, folks, if we are stupid enough to elect her for president, then this country is lost, period. What we need to do is start looking at who we have in our government and then change it to the way the Constitution meant it to be, not the way the liberals want it to be, and that's the way we've been going for the past 20 years or so. Our country has been changed for the worse for decades. and it has been going full bore since Lyndon Johnson, with a few slowdowns along the way like when Reagan was president. But now it is to the point where the politicians feel like they are in complete charge and that we the people have no right to challenge them in anything that they want to do, no matter who we are, no matter what the Constitution says. They make backroom deals that are not open to the public, that has damaging effects on our country. They brazenly will not follow the Constitution and then say that it is nothing more than an outdated document that needs to be changed. People, it is time we got together with the grassroots who have the right ideas to save this nation from any more tyranny. The Convention of the States is a good place to start if you can't figure out what to do. Voting in fiscal conservatives who want to follow the Constitution is another. We need to stop electing the likes of socialistic Obamas and people like Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, who say they are on our side but really want only to control us with their anti-gun, anti-American ideals. Listen to all the shows that are provided to you by conservative nation media. Listen to the Ted Cruz's and the Mike Lee's and the Sarah Palin's of this nation's politics. Hopefully you will find your way in this time of darkness for America and her people. Maybe we will start voting in people that we have actually gone out and vetted so that we know what they stand for, instead of taking for granted the ones running have our best interests at heart. People like Obama have not. They never have. And they never will. Time has come to set it all straight. We've been telling you that conservativenationmedia.com is making some changes, and they started on May 6th. That's when Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance moved to Tuesday. It used to be on Mondays, if you remember. Tennessee's issues are spreading out all over America, and Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Tuesday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee is now on Tuesdays, starting on May 6th. That's been a while ago now, at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And welcome to the chat room, guest 2010. Good to see you there. John Boehner isn't awake to point out the obvious often these days. But the other day he said something to the press that should have rolled some heads. He said, "It's not like we haven't seen this problem coming for over a year. It's not like we haven't seen over the past 5 or 6 months these terrorists moving in, taking control of Western Iraq. Now they've taken control of Mosul. They're 100 miles from Baghdad. And what's the president doing? Taking a nap." Unquote. Even criticism like that slap to the forehead of Obama hasn't woke him up from his slumber when it comes to al-Qaeda and their threat to the freedoms of everyone in the world. Nothing of importance has come out of the mouth of our so-called president. You remember the man who is supposed to be leader of the most powerful nation in the world? Well, at least the one that used to be anyway. Well, not anymore, folks. And we, the people, allowed this to happen. The trouble is, with too many of us finding out that Obama is not the man for the job he has been entrusted with, we are still standing idly by and re-elect him. One of the ones that won in a primary against Tea Party person was Lindsey Graham. I know he's a Republican, but he's a Republican in name only. He is one of these guys that would rather follow the Democrat Party than the Republican Party at any point in time, because they are the ones who espouse his ideals, and his ideals are not the ideals that conservative Republicans stand for. We all know he is no Republican. He stands for nothing but giving homage to Obama. Yet he didn't get beat by someone who didn't fall for Obama, And yet he didn't get beat by someone who didn't fall for Obama's lies and tyranny. No, No, he actually won against this person, which he should never have done. But at least Virginia Representative Bratt won his primary against Eric Cantor, and we all know that Eric Cantor this week resigned from his post because of it, which is okay. But we are, and because of this, we are making headway, folks, but not nearly fast enough. With every Tea Party or true conservative that wins, the liberals demand a faster wasting of this nation and her laws and constitution. And we are allowing this to continue. How bad does it have to be before we start voting out en masse the people who are destroying this nation? Folks, it won't take much more before a all-out war-type revolution will be needed to get America back. And the government is ready for that. They have been buying up all the ammo they can get. You scared yet? I know.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face and cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com and the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garden. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. Obama's latest foreign policy triumph has taken the cities of Mosul and Tikrit and is now bearing down on Baghdad. We live in a world set ablaze by this president's ignorance, arrogance, and failure. He was eager to check off the get out of Iraq box on his to-do list for the pleasure of his far-left supporters so that he didn't work out a status of forces agreement, which means there was no American president present to help when the Al-Qaeda, falsely described as decimated and on the run by Obama, came calling, and the Iraqi government forces folded up in a rout despite outnumbering the attackers by a good 5-1. One Mosul resident spotted Iraqi troops shucking their uniforms and slipping back into tracksuits to make running away more stylish and comfortable. I asked one soldier why he was leaving, said the eyewitness quoted by McClatchy News. He told me, "We came here for salaries, not to die." Obama was warned the Iraqi forces weren't ready, but he didn't listen. The perpetrators are now an Al-Qaeda terrorist group, now upgraded to a full-blown terror state with police forces, Islamic court systems, and the ability to provide services such as electricity and trash pickup, according to McClatchy, known as the ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. It looks like the Western media is still trying to decide whether it wants to change the acronym to ISIL because it has also been rendered as the Islamic State of Iraq in the Levant, L-E-V-A-N-T. As the name suggests, they're the same terrorists Obama wanted to provide with cover during their battle with the comparably evil Syrian dictator Bashar Assad. Just imagine how well they'd be doing in Iraq right now if Obama had gotten what he wanted in Syria, which is not to take away from the decimated on-the-run Al-Qaeda achievements to date, which have left them with captured American equipment. They've been spotted tooling around in Humvees already, and there were reportedly U.S. Black Hawk helicopters in Mosul when it fell. Plus a sizable treasury, having looted $429 million from captured banks. That makes them the best-funded, best-equipped terror group in history. And yet, according to Obama, they've been decimated. And now they're in Samarra, just 70 miles from Baghdad. It looks like the Shiite-dominated Iraqi military is beginning to resist more effectively as the Sunni invaders move south and threaten to take Shiite holy cities of Karbala and Najaf. Excuse me. Unfortunately, when the Iraqi military does fight back, it has a fondness for indiscriminate shelling and bombing that leave local citizens as frightened of their putative defenders as they are of the invaders. From the Washington Post comes this. Kathir Saeed, a 48-year-old truck driver, had left Mosul with his five children. He said he had been excited as he heard that the army had put down arms in the face of the ISIS advance. He said he was fleeing because he feared a government air offensive rather than the ISIS. In western Iraq, the army has been accused of indiscriminate shelling and even using barrel bombs in its attempts to wrest back control of the city of Fallujah since it fell to insurgents in January. You remember that one, but that's neither here nor there now. Abu Muhammad, 50, agreed, saying he had left Mosul only because his father was sick. Quote, ISIS is just wants to free the country from the unfair sectarian government, he said. If the fighting reaches Baghdad, it is hard to see how a full-scale sectarian war can be avoided. Among the worrisome signs to emerge Wednesday was a call by Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadir, leader of the now largely inactive Mahdi Army militia, to create a new security force to protect Shiite holy sites. Sadir accused the government of standing on the sidelines, shocked and silent as the country fell between the jaws of terrorism and extremism. That kind of sounds like here a little bit, though, I'm kind of sad to say. Well, it could have been avoided by having a better U.S. president who didn't let things get this far, but that ship has sailed. For those keeping score, this is one of the many, many things Mitt Romney was right about. There aren't many good options for the U.S. now. So far, the dazed Obama administration hasn't done much except strongly condemn the attacks in Mosul, as U.N. Ambassador Samantha Power put it. The White House also offered condemnation with a side order of, quote, condolences to the family and those killed, unquote, followed by an underscoring of, quote, our commitment to assist the Iraqi people as they confront the threat that the ISIL poses to Iraq and the region, unquote. condemned the attacks. They overran the city, kids. Now, it might be clearer by now that kids is an inappropriate way to address anyone associated with the Obama White House. Or did Obama, President Obama, not know about the fall of Mosul because he hadn't read it in the morning paper yet? As for the commitment to assist the Iraqi people, it evidently stopped short of the air support requested by the Iraqi government last month, which the New York Times says was because the White House was, quote, reluctant to open a new chapter in a conflict that President Obama has insisted was over when the United States withdrew the last of its forces from Iraq in 2011, unquote. There aren't many good options for the U.S. now. So far, the dazed Obama administration hasn't done much. Like I said just a little while ago, it hasn't done much, and it isn't going to do anything. It seems that for months this article, that these ISIS goons didn't just materialize out of pre-dawn gloom like ninjas yesterday. They've been making moves for quite a while now, and it's been a month since the Iraqi government asked Obama for help. And, of course, nobody here in the United States, unless they're somebody like me who peruses the news in every aspect of it pretty much every week, so I try and get everything I can on this, but even I didn't hear much about this one because the media will not report it. And it's such a silence from the media that even a lot of the conservative sites don't get it either. But it's stuff that needs to be found. It's been found because I found it. But nobody can nap. You know, the way I look at it, nobody can nap through all of that without earplugs and a sleeping mask. And I think that Obama has even used sleeping pills, too. He is just so off the mark on everything he is doing that this country is in real trouble. Along with all of her allies, we have seen a lot of threats against Israel lately. And, of course, with Obama in the White House, it doesn't matter if our ally Israel has been attacked or not. He isn't going to help them. He has no desire to help them. He has no desire to do anything to help Israel because they pretty much go against everything that he desires, and that is to pacify and coddle with terrorists and let them know that he is on their side when he should be on our side. I have long since decided that he is not my president. He may be in the White House. He may be considered the president of the United States. But to me, he is a traitor. He has done nothing good for this nation. And when he does, he backtracks and does something different so that it's not construed as something that he did. Obama does not want to be someone remembered as a president who did good for this nation, who did good for the standing of America in the world. I don't even think that's in his vocabulary. He doesn't want it. He doesn't need it. He doesn't desire it. And because he doesn't desire it, he wants all Americans not to desire it. The problem is, most of us do, I think. One of the reasons why the government, in all of its glory and all of its neediness and wanting, buying up all the ammunition that they possibly can because they know something's coming. And I don't think what they think is coming is from outside the United States. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. Protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off of their great service. Go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Getting your child home safely.
Tap your heels together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There's no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travel.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Find a relaxed position to let go of the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk 4 sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com with the new Wise Conservatism radio show, and I'm Robert Garding, your host. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176 if you want to join in the fun.
From hotair.com, I found an article that shows something no one would think possible in this day of age when it comes to guns. The article titled, CNN, No Really, Mass Shootings Are Not on the Rise. And it was written by Ed Morrissey. For the second time in 2 days, CNN went out of its way to debunk the Michael Bloomberg, Barack Obama claim that mass shootings have become epidemic in the new normal in American society. But the day after CNN debunked the Bloomberg-funded every town claim that there were 74 Newtown mass-style mass shootings since Sandy Hook, Jake Tapper interviewed Northeastern University criminology professor James Allen Fox to look at the data rather than the antidote. Over a 40-year period, Fox concluded, mass shootings have remained flat, even while the population of the country has grown significantly over the same period. Now, I had audio that I tried to get for this, but it was so noisy and so such a bad audio that I could hardly understand what the man was saying. But, essentially, it was talking about, so are mass shootings on the rise? One professor and criminologist says no. Northeastern University criminology professor James Allen Fox compiled data of shootings with four or more fatalities from 1976 to 2012 and found that these incidents on a chart look like an EKG, up and down, not a steady rise. Fox doesn't mention the other trend line on overall gun violence, which isn't flat. It's falling on the actual numbers, and especially on a population-adjusted basis. The trend began during the Clinton administration, but accelerated after the expiration of the so-called assault weapon ban. In 1994, the ban did not cause the rate of mass shootings to fall, either mainly because most of those involved handguns and shotguns rather than rifles. Fox tells Tapper that people should take Bill Clinton's advice from that period to look at the trend line, at trend lines rather than headlines. They should also take care to make sure the data for those trend lines is honestly compiled rather than cobbled together for maximum hysteria and political impact. I agree with Clinton on much, but on this he is right. The media and the liberal left in this country are doing the second of those choices. They remain totally silent when nothing is happening. But when a shooting happens anywhere in this nation, they are suddenly the most vocal of anyone, stating that the only way to get rid of this violence is to make all guns illegal. Well, say we did that. Here is what would happen, and it's been proven time and time again, over and over, all over this nation. All law-abiding citizens would get rid of their guns, leaving them defenseless, and the criminals, you know those types, laws don't mean a damn thing to them. They will arm themselves more than they are now, and then the robberies, murders, kidnapping at gunpoint, and other things would escalate, because now you have to listen here, folks, because no one will be out there to defend themselves against the criminal element, and the police are far enough away that most of the times the criminals will be done with their gunplay before the popo even get close. You hear me? Is this microphone on? The government is not going to be taking my guns anytime soon because I have my constitutionally guaranteed right that I can have them. Probably be a criminal at best if I lived in Chicago because I would not give up my guns. The problem is that it's not the law-abiding people who have guns. And if I could get Obama just to listen to me just once, I would tell him this. I'd say, Obama, the problem is not the law-abiding people who have guns. It is the criminals who have guns. Once you get that finally straight, you may have learned something helpful. But we have to know that the liberals in our government, and sadly many who claim to be on the right, do not get this, and they won't get it either. Either they believe blindly that law-abiding people with guns are the problem and that the criminals with the guns are not, or they are the stupidest people in the world. Wait, maybe it's both. Blind obedience to either one of those is also stupidity, and the American people, though trusting to a fault, are not stupid. Well, most of them aren't anyway, I think. But the American people are starting to finally realize just what is going on and what our government is doing to us. We are seeing that in Chicago, everybody there is left totally defenseless, depending on the police to arrive to save them from some criminal who has a gun. Oh, no. Suddenly you're starting to stop and ask, well, why can't I have a gun to protect my family? Oh, because it's against the law. Well, who made this law? Liberals in government made this law. And, of course, it was helped along by people who are Republican in name only and other Republicans who don't have the backbone to stand up against things like this. And I think the problem comes down to the point when the American people will not take time out to vet who they are voting for. It sure worked out well for us, didn't it, when we voted for Obama? Now, I said we, but even though I didn't vote for him either time, and if he actually breaks the Constitution again and runs for a third term, I won't vote for him then either. I know better. I know he is in the process of destroying this nation and doing everything he can to stop it dead in its tracks and get rid of the freedoms that we all hold so dear. And this is not fear-mongering. It is the truth. It's what he's been doing since he got into office. It's what he's doing now, and it's what he's going to do until he leaves office. People, we need to start realizing what is going on here and do everything we can to stop him. Because if we don't, this nation is bound for the death heap of history. And if that happens, our children will have nowhere to go and no place to be. Because they were raised on freedom and they will no longer have it. What do you think they are going to do when this hits the fan? I hope I'm not around when it happens. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America, the real Radio Free America, with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. No matter what color you are or what stripe of American you are, rich, poor, destitute, you have to know in your heart that this is wrong. And Obama needs to be held accountable, finally, for the things he is doing to this country. From the ACLJ came this one about another thing that Obama is doing. He can't help one American Marine get out of prison in Mexico for making a wrong turn over a border, but he's one of illegals from Mexico. He can return five high-profile terrorists to the enemy in exchange for an Islamic-sympathizing deserter. That isn't all. Until you, Obama, no American president has ever negotiated with terrorists or bowed to them. The Obama administration is violating the law in its quest to appease jihadists. In the Middle East, it has reportedly engaged in secret talks with Hamas, a designated terrorist organization that kills Israeli children, and has agreed to recognize and fund the Palestinian Authority's new government that includes Hamas. In Afghanistan, it violated legal notice requirements and handed the Taliban a significant victory that places our soldiers at risk again when it exchanged five senior terrorist commanders for an American soldier suspected of desertion. These actions violated the law and benefited Islamic radicals. This is intolerable. It's time for accountability. Defend the law and defend the United States. No deals with terrorists, Mr. President. You swore to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that you have disregarded the law to pursue a strategy of appeasement. You're placing American security at risk, and you've betrayed our close ally, Israel, many times. Appeasement will not work. Uphold the law. Make no deals with terrorist radicals. I think this president is making me physically ill, and I'm getting tired of it. He will be right back.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org. Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electro-synth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing. And we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings, that's tomorrow night, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com and the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176.
Okay, we are back from HumanEvents.com. Comes this one. Ted Cruz is still not being silent, and God bless him for it. As a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on Wednesday, Senator Ted Cruz talked with Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jeff Johnson on Wednesday about the crisis of unoccupied minor aliens being shipped to the United States from Central and South America. Cruz did a fantastic job of outlining what he called the staggering humanitarian crisis at the border. Apprehensions of these minors at the borders have basically been doubling every year since 2011, but this year they'll blast into the stratosphere, jumping from 24,000 to as many as 90,000, according to DHS estimates. As Cruz made clear, there's no mystery about why this is happening. President Obama's policies, specifically DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. I continue to be honestly baffled that anyone can try to deny this. It's the clearest cause and effect relationship of modern times, buttressed by copious testimony from the new arrivals, who are quite clear about why they made the long and perilous journey to the United States. They have every reason to believe some favor of fort citizenship will be theirs for the taking in the very near future. It is really your testimony that granting amnesty to some 800,000 people who came here illegally as children had no effect in causing a dramatic increase of children being handed over to international drug cartels to be smuggled in here illegally, Cruz asked. Johnson, referring to the results of President Obama's unilateral action. Johnson's answer is absurd, and Cruz dispenses it with very efficiently. No, of course these people aren't up to speed on every subparagraph of President Obama's executive orders or the comprehensive immigration reform legislation pinballing through Congress. They don't know that subparagraph 6B of section 46-009 says amnesty is only available to minor aliens who were already on American soil as of such and such a date. And frankly, even if they did know, they have every reason to believe those restrictions would be waived to accommodate them. That's one of the strangest things about the comprehensive immigration reform debate. Why would anyone within the United States or beyond our borders assume that whatever citizenship giveaway choked out of Congress would be followed by some kind of crackdown on illegal immigration? That's not how it worked last time or the time before that. No close observer of the American political scene can detect any forces likely to compel tight border security and international law enforcement following the next amnesty deal. And there is going to be another one, believe me. It'll happen as long as we have liberals in our government. And if you're a desperate family living under the constant threat of murder at the hands of drug cartels or corrupt governments, you're probably not reading The Hill on a daily basis to pick up the subtle signals emanating from various congressional factions. The humanitarian crisis on our border is a direct consequence of irresponsible immigration policy, as Cruz pointed out. These unaccompanied minors did not arrive in Texas after a placid stroll across the southern hemisphere. Little boys and little girls, their parents are handing them over not to some noble social worker trying to help them, said Cruz. They're handing them over to international, global criminal cartels that smuggle human beings in, kids among other places, on top of fast-moving freight trains. They are criminals who sexually assault and sometimes murder these children. These are little girls that are sometimes being sold into prostitution and sex slavery. Critics of these immigration reform proposals often speak of the burden placed on the American taxpayer and the national security risks that come from letting so many people flood across the border, quite a few of them disposed to further violations after they've defied U.S. immigration law, and the unfairness to those who did the hard work of immigrating legally. But as Cruz pointed out, it's brutal to the illegal aliens themselves who have something in common with American citizens. They've been suckered by unrealistic promises from the opportunistic politicians I've written of my belief that some of the people who engineered this unaccompanied minor crisis are pleased with the results. They want to overload the system and checkmate amnesty opponents by creating demand for citizenship for young refugees who are not easily refused. Cruz goes on to say, I find it increasingly difficult to believe that anyone with the slightest capacity for critical thinking would be honestly surprised by these developments as an of advertising a fire sale on citizenship. But either way, it has to stop, because what we're seeing today is just a taste of things to come. It seems that this, folks, is just a dose of common sense, something that the liberal left and many on the right have been working overtime to destroy. It is time to get this country back on track, and there are many out there that could get us on that track if they were ever given the chance to be elected. Yet most don't, and yet we keep stupidly electing and re-electing people like Lindsey Graham, John McCain, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and others that keep the status quo going and always in the wrong direction. I've asked this before and undoubtedly will ask it again and again. When are we going to wake up and stop electing people who will never do the good things for America? A lot of them in Washington don't. They don't have any desire to. Why is Hillary Clinton's name always being bantered around as a great candidate for the presidency? Only thing that would happen that would be great for her, if she ever made president, her family, if she stays with Bill Clinton, will get now a double yearly salary for the rest of their lives because they were both president. I guess they need it because I found an article this week that says that the Clintons were dead broke when they left the White House. They've been dead broke ever since. Well, that kind of surprises me. Well, actually, maybe it shouldn't. Liberals don't know how to manage their money. And he's getting a lot of money. He's been president. He'll get that money till he dies. That's part of the Constitution. That's the part of the Constitution that they want to keep. They don't want to get rid of that one because that will help them when they get into the White House. But questions that need to be asked. Why is Harry Reid still in office? He's a senile old goat that doesn't seem to know anything anymore except that he can open his mouth and make a fool of himself and state the liberal obvious to everyone and never know that he's wrong. Why does Nancy Pelosi hold such sway in Washington, D.C.? Is it because she's rich? Is it because she's a woman? Is it because she'll cry and say that she doesn't deserve to be treated that way because she's worked too hard all her life to get to the position she's in? You remember that one, don't you, folks? There are many more I could ask about people, you know, who are only there to have millions of citizens like you and I, but I hope you get the picture. It seems that we need to start watching what our politicians are doing. We should have always been watching what our politicians are doing. But for so many years, this nation was doing so good. We were at the pinnacle of everything. We were the strongest nation in the world. We had the most excellent military. Our cost of living was high. Our wages were high. Inflation was low. Gasoline was cheap. Now that Obama's been in office, it's gone from $1.75 a gallon to $4 a gallon, which is where it is now here in Indiana. You can still find it for $3.79. But I've been seeing $4 and even higher a gallon here in Indiana this last week. Gas Buddy has been announcing almost weekly new price hikes in gasoline, yet they are befuddled as to why it's happening. Well, I can tell you why it's happening. Obama told us before he made it to the White House that first time. Because of his cap-and-trade policies, energy prices must necessarily skyrocket. Well, that is one promise he kept, isn't it? And it's hurting every American that is alive today. Children have to make sure that they shut off lights where they really weren't required to before because the cost of a light bulb is getting atrocious, if at best. We are changing to another light bulb that, in my house, I will not have the CFL bulbs. I'm changing all mine to LEDs. They're more expensive, but by gosh, they'll last. And they will not cause a hazmat team to have to come in if we break one. And hello, Lady Michelle. Good to see you there. We will be right back. An hour of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show heard here on conservativenationmedia.com and Blog Talk Radio, of course. So I hope you stay tuned, and good to see everybody there in the chat room, and I will be back after a few minutes.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg. That's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Wow, check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council. From West Central Indiana, one of the few states that runs its budget in the black, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. I'm Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call to let you know that traditional Americans are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, and we are proud of our constitutional conservatism. Obama can't touch this. You're listening to Hour 2 of the show, and we are being broadcast to you through ConservativeNationMedia.com. And now, the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
As some of you have probably noticed, I changed the intro song that I used for this show. I've been looking for the right song to use, and I have even thought of asking listeners for suggestions for a song that I could use. One that I am going to be using from now on, unless someone comes up with a great one for the show, will be a song by Steppenwolf called Give Me Some News That I Can Use. I love the title of it because this show is all about the news that the people can use to bring this country back to the greatness that it was intended for it, bringing God, freedom, and the Constitution back into places that they should be, and getting rid of the politicians who are there in Washington, D.C. and around this nation only for their own agendas and the power over the people that they get from that position. And we need to get rid of the politicians who only go there to get rich, as most of them undoubtedly, because it is sad that we have so many politicians who are only there for the power over the people and the money that the people will pay them, totally forgetting the fact that they are there to represent us, not lord over us with their power. Welcome to the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show on this June the 14th, the year of our Lord 2014. And yeah, this week I got the dates right. Isn't that cool? Last week I said it was May the 24th, I think. So I was, I think time is passing just way too freaking fast now. Don't you? Ever wonder how stories that hurt conservatives get out? I can tell you, but first I want to tell you about the latest coming out about Dave Brat. You know the conservative who won the primary in Virginia a week ago against Eric Cantor. Probably a liberal machine of news lookers, or better yet, news maker-uppers have found this one and suddenly has become news. Virginia's House Republican primary victor, Dave Brat, has been caught up in a storm over an innocuous essay he wrote 3 years ago warning that Adolf Hitler's rise could happen all over again. Well, we all know this. We've heard it from various and sundry people around the United States, not just Dave Brat. Hell, I've said it. My friend in California who does the Political Pistachio show, he said it. It's evident all over the place. We've seen pictures to show things happening, like people lining up in bread lines all over the place, just like they were in Nazi Germany. There's nothing new about this, but apparently because it's Dave Brat, a conservative, has said it, boy, something must be wrong, and the media is all over this one. Wall Street Journal writer Reed Epstein, has been attacked by Breitbart reporter John Nolte for his, quote, attempts to manufacture from thin air a political controversy, unquote, involving Brat, who caused a shocking upset this week by defeating House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in a GOP primary, which I thought was great, by the way. And I've also sent him a letter of intent hoping that he'll come on this show, which I hope he does. It'd really be cool to get him on here. But in 2011, Brat had written a 13-page essay in an issue of Interpretation, a journal of Bible and theology, which included comments about Hitler's Nazi Germany. In a column titled, David Brat's Writings, Hitler's Rise Could Happen Again, Epstein said, it is the reference to Hitler's Germany that is likely to turn heads during Mr. Brat's first full day as a Tea Party star. Breitbart's Nolte noted that Brat's comments were actually anti-Hitler. While reproducing the part of Brat's essay that included mention of the Third Reich leader, Brat wrote, capitalism is here to stay, and we need a church model that corresponds to that reality, read Nitschke. Nitschke's diagnosis of the weak, modern, Christian, democratic man was spot on. Jesus was a great man. Jesus actually made people better. Then came the Christians. What happened? What went wrong? We appear to be a bit passive. Hitler came along, and he did not meet with unified resistance. I have the sinking feeling that it could all happen again quite easily. The church should rise up higher than Nitschke, prove him wrong. If we all did the right thing and had the guts to spread the word, we would not need the government to backstop every action we take, unquote. Nolte called Brat's reasoning, quote, factually accurate and articulate, unquote, while condemning Epstein's comments as especially his non sequitur connecting Brat's essay to the fact that Cantor is the only Jewish Republican in Congress. 13 full pages with one warning about how we cannot repeat the mistakes that made Nazi Germany possible. And from that, Reed Epstein whips up a word soup about Hitler, rise again, Tea Party, defeat Jewish. These people seem to have nothing better to do than to destroy the lives and ideals of people who are only there to help save this nation from these said people. Reed Epstein is one of these idiots. Makes me wonder what kind of brainwashing food these morons have been fed all their lives. It's time we started to realize that in the mainstream media, if the news helps a conservative or someone who wants to help America, it will not be printed. But if anything else from their liberal cronies will be flashed across the pages of lying black ink as quickly as they can. And like I said before, it makes me feel shame for my chosen profession of printing, because they have lost the ability to report news correctly and truthfully, reporting facts, which they don't anymore, instead of what they want to be reported. And it seems the news media has decided that facts don't mean a dang thing. They're wrong. They can't be truthful. So they have to make up things to be truthful. And it amazes me that this kind of thinking has gotten as far as it has. We can't sit the media besmirch everything that's American. Heck, even over this last year, I've watched them trying to tell everyone how bad our founding fathers were. They were womanizers. They were horrible people that did the wrong things at the wrong times and did the wrong things at the right times. It's amazing to me how far down the toilet the media and the left and the government have gone in their efforts to destroy what was once the greatest nation in the world. I still feel this nation is the greatest nation in the world. But if we don't continue to fight against what is coming, we're going to lose it, and we're going to lose it lock, stock, and barrel. Mark my words here. And it's something that we can't afford to do if we want a place for our children in the future. America is still the freest country on earth. And those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away. With our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, he is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central Time for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time, and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. I'm going to have to check that. I think it's 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. I put 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central earlier on this. I think it's 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, because that's the time most all of them are, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. A Muslim to Christian convert is suing an Oklahoma church for publicizing his baptism online, saying the announcement led to his being beaten, tortured, and threatened with beheading during a visit to his Syrian homeland. Identified in court papers only as John Doe, the man who was in his 40s says he was baptized at the First Presbyterian Church of Tulsa on December 30th, 2012, and told the pastor the event had to be kept secret because he was going back home to bring back his bride, and under Sharia law, a convert from Islam is put to death, usually by beheading, the Tulsa World reported. Before and after his baptism, plaintiff was assured his baptism would not be publicized, the complaint stated. Yet on January 6, 2013, a baptism notice went online and a pair of church leaders promised the mistaken posting would be removed. It wasn't taken down until April 2014, the Christian Today reported. In mid-January, the convert was accosted by radical Muslims who had seen the posting, and despite the man's denial, he was kidnapped, tortured, beat, and shot, the Tulsa World reported. He claims his escape came after he grabbed a gun from one of the captors as they were leading him to his beheading and fatally shot an uncle who was part of the gang. Then he then survived a revenge slashing by a cousin, his suit claims. We understand the skepticism towards the claim, lawyer Keith Ward told the Tulsa World. But his injuries and all the allegations are well documented. Ward said his client, who is still gets death threats, is suing for $75,000 in damages, breach of contract, and negligence. The lawsuit is brought by a person who received the sacrament of baptism before the congregation during a regular Sunday service at First Church, the pastor, the Reverend James Miller, said in a statement to the Tulsa World. As the facts and truths of the events are revealed during the judicial process, it will become clear that First Church followed its normal procedures in baptizing this person, and the claims made in the suit are not proper. I guess we will find out. I have a phone call from area code 516, but I will get to them in a short little bit. I have a hard break here that I have to go to, and I will be right back and get that phone call after a second. Be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzz driving. Maybe we should stop acting.
We
like
will
it's no
be
big
with
deal.
You
in
Buzz short
driving
bit.
Is drunk driving. A public
our,
service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Okay, so five tacos of cheese and a large soda. That's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance, inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening, because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time, for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
As promised, we have a phone call from area code 516, and we are with you now. Are you there, sir?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I just came across the show. The reason I'm asking if you can hear me okay is I'm on a cell phone, my landline, believe it or not, with the freedom of speech has been blocked by Blog Talk Radio from all Blog Talk shows. That's okay. I am standing my truth. I want to give you my name and my phone number so you can call me on my landline, and I'll fill you in on things that are very powerful strategies to help get this country back on track. And if I can do that, they'll let you proceed with your show, because when people Google my name, they'll see all kinds of things, including a copy of a letter from President Obama to me, a poem I dedicated to my wife that's in the President Ronald Reagan's library that Maya Angelou actually commented on, a copy of a letter from the Carter administration to me, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm also a former whistleblower who indirectly caused the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House of Shame. And back in the 80s, I spoke about her in the Wall Street Journal article that was written up then, beautifully pointed out how special interests and lobbyists have totally taken Washington and destroyed it completely. But we can unravel, and it's all going to be with truth and transparency coming to the forefront, that, you know, as the NSA and all this stuff looks at us, who says we can't look back at them? That's what we should be doing. Who's behind all this? These politicians are puppets of the elite. Let's get to them. Let's start seeing Well, you have a Swiss bank account. Why aren't you transparent like everybody else? There'll be a little storming of the Bastille eventually if they're not going to come forth in a transparent, ethical, legal, moral way with their businesses all the way around. Walmart getting fined $80 to $100 million for dumping pesticides down Stormbreak in Los Angeles. If that's the kind of company you want to do business with, I feel sorry for you. Because, again, when people realize election day is every day you buy a product and start looking at who's behind all these companies and if they're being good to the environment, good to their employees, good to their customers, and giving back to the community, that's where we have to be focusing for our future. So I'll give you my name if I may.
Yeah.
My name
that
is...
That would be fine.
I'm sorry?
Okay.
My name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name is Trompson. That's spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. And if you will call me at 804-798-1139, and I'll fill you in on some other things. I currently reside in Ashland, Virginia. As you know, that's where they have the congressional seat, our campus seat up for grabs. And Ashland builds itself the center of the universe. I'm self-proclaimed here the heartbeat of America. Ashland sits in Hanover County, where Patrick Henry grew up, who said, give me liberty or give me death. As a Vietnam-era veteran, I feel the same way all these years later, but I want to take America in a whole new way through caring and sharing with each other and rippling that out transparently around the globe to stop all these wars of manipulation that have been going on for far too long.
Yeah, I heard that you were a Vietnam vet.
Vietnam era veteran, yes. I was in the Air Force. 4-68. And this also is a historic day. This is a flag day, and it's also the 239th anniversary of the founding of the U.S. Army.
Yeah. Well, God bless you for your service, sir.
Well,
I know that
JFK said that that's not what your country could do for you, but what you can do for your country, I would do it all over again. But at the same time, as I have become self-educated and see what's going on, a lot of these wars have been contrived years in advance by the elite who make money off of both sides of the war on the sale of munitions. And it's a very interesting thing I'd like to bring out related to the indigenous American Indians who actually saved us in the Second World War with the Windfalkers. They couldn't break the code. When the Vietnam War, years before that started, they actually had indigenous Americans go over there because of their tracking skills, and they were terrific. When the war started, they drafted all kinds of them, and when they sent them over there, they couldn't handle tracking like they did prior. It was because they cut their hair. And they're very, spiritually and century and their hair being cut took away their ability to track properly.
Okay, well, I will definitely give you a call. I didn't have anything with me to write down your number, but I've got it on my recording for this show, so I'll go back and listen to it and get your number from there, and I will give you a call on that.
All right, I appreciate it, and you can also look at a blog, the word creativity777.com, and that's the blog that has the letter from the President's poem from the library. On the PDF file on that blog, which you can download from where it says America's New Transformation Economy Based Upon Cows Corporate Opportunity website, there is a mission statement. It's item number 5. It's something that I launched over the Memorial Day holiday weekend in 2008 over C-SPAN Washington Journal show, and it's titled Veterans Uniting America. It's never meant to be an organization, but it's meant to be utilized by organizations and read by absolutely anyone and do things in memory of our fallen heroes, not just on certain days, but every single day, even if it's only a prayer. That's a powerful action that goes out into the universe that will help raise the consciousness of mankind and bring us more peace and love for the future.
I totally agree with you on that one, sir.
All right, I'll let you get back to your show. I thank you for taking my call, and I look forward to speaking with you. If you do call and for any reason don't get me directly, be sure to leave a message, and I'll come back to you.
I will do that. And thank you. God bless you again for your service.
And God bless you for the work that you're doing on the international show, and God bless everyone listening live in the archives, and God will always bless America when we realize what Jesus said, to always put God first and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's where we could unite and get America as a beacon for the rest of the world as it was meant to be.
Absolutely. And thank you for the phone call.
All right. Thank you again.
Okay, and he brought up some good points, and we've even had some a couple of politicians who have brought not necessarily politicians. I think that's a bad one, because most politicians nowadays are just absolutely horrible doing the right thing for this nation. But we've had people saying that the best way to get America back on track is to bring God back into her, which is what we need to do. You may not be a religious person, but if you look back into the founding of this nation, God was in the works in everything that they did. They may have done things that today would be frowned upon, but back then, that was a different day and time. That was a different kind of society. Different things were acceptable back then, even though they are wrong now. And we have to follow through and look at what the timelines and these things are, and what these people had to go through to get what they did. This country is a Christian nation, no matter what Obama says. Obama's wrong on that. All he has to do is read the Constitution, and he'll see God in there. All he has to do is read the Declaration of Independence, and he will see God in there. He's there. And then one of the things that I do all the time, if I see somebody who has served this nation and gone to war to protect our freedoms, I ask God to bless them for their service. It's something that should be done by everybody that considers themselves American and loves the freedoms that they enjoy, because it's because of these soldiers. It's because of these people who went to the military and fought for America, the reason why we still have these freedoms that we all still are trying to enjoy, even though Obama and the left and some on the right are trying to take away from us. And in places like Chicago, they already have taken a lot of them away, like our Second Amendment rights. But that's neither here nor there, I guess, because it's already happened. All we have to do is take that back and get it working the way it should again. We will be right back after these important messages. Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep right on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn your world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, home warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner and There you'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationMedia.com. You're listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. Also from WND comes this one about a group that we are hearing a lot about, the ISIS, or Islamic State of Iraq. And I'm afraid that we are going to be hearing a lot more about them and what they are doing. No one who is going to, and there is no one who can, is going to stop them, except maybe Israel. I think Israel may do something. I know the United States won't, as long as Obama is in office. But this article from Washington says the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIS, considered to be the most ruthless of the Sunni Islamic militant groups fighting in Syria, has ordered a Christian community in Raqqa, Syria, to pay nearly 38 pounds of gold as a guarantee of their safety. The announcement was posted on an ISIS website. The requirement is part of the implementation of a form of Islamic law or Sharia in areas under ISIS control. Each ounce would cost, at February 26 rates, about $1,330, making the total needed for the required 600-plus ounces of gold more than $800,000. Raqqa, or Ar-Raqqa, is a city in north-central Syria with a population of some 300,000 people, of which less than 1% or 3,000 are Christian. That means each Christian then would be required to come up with more than $260 in gold. Prior to issuing the demand for the gold, sources say the Christians had met with the ISIS fighters, who offered three choices: convert to Islam, accept ISIS conditions, or reject their control and possibly be killed. If they reject, they are subject to being legitimate targets and nothing will remain between them and ISIS other than the sword, a separate ISIS statement said. Prior to ISIS taking over Raqqa, many Christians fled the city. In addition to the statement, ISIS also issued a video in Arabic. In the video, ISIS said it would require the Christian community to pay 17 kilograms of gold as jizya, or J-I-Z-Y-A, or a tax on non-Muslims who also, quote, must refrain from any public expression of their religion in exchange for a guarantee of their safety, unquote, according to the English subtitled video. The group made this announcement over the Internet, the video said, adding that the Christians are prohibited from renovating their churches, ringing church bells, and praying in public. The video also said ISIS forbade Christians from possessing weapons and selling pork or alcohol to Muslims. Well, now they're just taking all the fun away. Christian, the city seized by ISIS last year, was the first provincial capital to fall into the hands of the Islamic militants. According to Al Monitor, a Washington-based website covering the news of the Middle East, the ISIS-controlled city has women lined up for as much as 7 hours a day in front of a bakery for bread. A masked gunman organized the line. The bakery used to be for both men and women, but ISIS banned the sexes from mixing and aligned two bakeries for women and one for men among government bakeries, the report said. Women are now required to wear the hijab or veil while standing in line, so they can't show their faces anymore. In other instances, residents are subject to constant intimidation from ISIS fighters who are forcing inhabitants who own more than one home to turn over the keys of their unused homes. Would you allow your jihadist brother to live in the street, the ISIS fighters asked. The report said that ISIS fighters in Raqqa are not engaging in any military action against the regime of Syrian president of Bashar al-Assad. Instead, they occupy the internet cafes of the city and are engaging other jihadist groups whom ISIS believes are not strict enough under Sharia. Do you people really think that if they get everything they are asking for here, they will go away and leave everyone alone? I have learned from past mistakes about groups like this one so that they never will. They always want more. So why do we keep doing the same things when responding to them? We know it isn't going to go well for us, don't we? This whole thing where we think that all we have to do is be nice to these people and they'll think, oh, those Americans are really good people. We'll leave them alone, even though they are Christians, because they're nice to us. They look at nicety in a different way than we do, folks. They look at people who are nice to them as people who are weak, and we show that kind of weakness to any Islamic group. And mark my words, folks, they will not be our friends. As a matter of fact, they'll just think we're weak and come after us that much sooner. And it's something that we've got to start thinking on those lines about, because if we don't, this nation's going to get pummeled in more ways than one. I think that when it comes down to the average person, though, you know, they may get you know, the groups like ISIS or Islamic terrorists may get to our government because our government is idiotic right at the moment. But I think they find it harder when they start moving into the inland, because we've got our guns and we're not giving them up. And anyone who comes after me and my family is likely on the wrong end of the barrel, because I will protect my family from any Islamist who decides he's coming to take my property. And that's just the way I look at it. But, you know, I think that the way I see things is pretty much the same way that a lot of other Americans do, too. They don't want to lose their property. They don't want to lose their families. They don't want to have an Islamic ideologue come along and telling us we have to give up our stuff so that we don't offend, as in as somebody who comes to mean us harm. I mean, if one of those terrorists comes to my house, I'll feed them. I'll feed them pork. Let them choke on that stuff. And then I'll shoot them in the head with my rifle. Better yet, I'll shoot them somewhere where they will live just long enough to get back to their people and let them know that they're not welcome here. But, you know, and in the chat room, they said, do you think they feel the same about us being over there? Yeah, they probably do. And in that one, you know, that's their country. That is also one country that I never plan on going to. But they better not try and come here and take over my area, because I'll shoot them. I own this land that I sit on. And I'll do what I can to protect it and my family. I have the constitutional right to do so. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, right after the Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started here. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Our latest terror threat, from what I have read this morning, could very well be here in America, where forest fires are being set. This article, also from WND, seems to tell the story of it, titled New Al-Qaeda Plot to Burn U.S. Forests. Oh, boy. Well, thank you, Cog. We might all need help if this keeps going the way we have been allowing it to. An Arabic language jihadi website posted a message purporting to be Al-Qaeda's plan of economic attack on the U.S. that included setting forest fires, according to the Northeast Intelligence Network. The six-point plan appeared Saturday and called for attacks on the assets of large American companies all over the world, attacks on U.S. oil refineries, attacks on civilian airports with the goal of financially devastating U.S. airlines, deliberate pollution of food systems, setting fires in forests, especially those that provide the American market with the raw materials for wood and paper and byproducts industries, and attacks like those on the railways, transportation lines in Spain. Last fall, WorldNet Daily reported on Al-Qaeda's threats against the forests of the U.S. and its allies and pointed out the rash of devastating wildfires that raged through Europe, Australia, and the U.S. Law enforcement officials are suspected several of the California wildfires that killed 18 and consumed more than 718,000 acres and destroyed more than 2,400 homes in 10 days were deliberately set. Increasing speculation there is a terror connection to the blazes. Only one man was arrested, Dikran Armuchian, 23, of Pasadena. He pleaded not guilty and has not yet been tried. Damage estimates exceed $2 billion. Fires were among the deadliest and costliest disasters in California. Meanwhile, there was evidence terrorism was behind other wildfires in Europe and Australia last summer. In the devastating forest fires that swept through the Mars Mountains near the French Riviera in late July, investigators found Molotov cocktails or gasoline bombs were used to ignite the blazes that killed at least four and destroyed 50 homes. Luke Jose, the mayor of Roxas-Argens, called the fires a new form of terrorism. President Jacques Chirac threatened those responsible with sanctions of an extraordinary fires in France were the worst ever in the region. In addition, southern Italy was also hit last summer with devastating wildfires, also believed to be the result of arson. arson fires account for about one-third of his Israeli forest fires, too. Political arsonists caused the most, with negligent hikers a close second. Actually, and I will be right back in a few moments.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
ConservativeNationMedia.com. You're listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garding. Call-in number is 718-305-7176. And finally, we here at the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day. This whole idea that we have to cave in and not fight illegal immigration into this country is not only by the adults and the children is ridiculous. According to the liberals, this won't cost us anything, and we won't suffer any consequences because of the millions of illegals that have come here and are continuing to come here. Washington tries to tell us that there is nothing that can be done about it. Well, if we don't do anything about it, there is nothing we can do about it. That much is true. But the powers that be in Washington, D.C. are wrong about this and always have been wrong about this. Our borders need to be closed, and closed as soon as possible. The liberals in our government seem to have no clue with all this talk of our open borders and just how we can't close them won't hurt us is stupid to say the least. Folks, if we all know about it, don't you think that the terrorists of the world know about it too? Articles from several years ago in the media, such as Fox, WND, The Blaze, and even Rush Limbaugh, has told us that waiting inside America are terrorist groups that are just waiting for the word to attack. And our government is just sitting back like nothing is wrong and continuing to go on the things that they seem to think is important, like raising taxes without telling the people it's going to happen and lying to the people about things that are going on in Washington, all the while leaving out all the information about the backroom deals and transfers that the Obama administration and the government are doing without the consent of the American people. Things like this shouldn't be happening, and since the morons in Washington are not, you know, are in charge, or at least they think they are, you know, they're not really in charge. We the people are, or really they we should be. Government, gun control, immigration reform, and all the other things that seem to come out of the government today are nothing but more attempts for the government to gain more control over the people, something that according to the Constitution should never happen, but it does. Daily, we have a president who tells us that the Constitution is a flawed document and needs to be gotten rid of. To him, though, it is only flawed because it limits what he can do to the people, plain and simple. It doesn't allow him the power that he desires to have over we, the people. And to all the liberals and quasi-Republicans in Washington, that is the reason that they do all the things that they are doing to us. Freedom for the people is not a desired commodity in Washington, D.C. Oh, no. People they want to be free and powerful is they themselves, while it is also they themselves who want all the power. People owning their own guns for protection of their families is not something America needs, according to them, even though the police are at least minutes away, something that most all criminals know about. And that is why they plan their heists the way they do and making all these long-term plans of why, how they're going to do things and how they're going to do them the way they do them. They do them so that they can be gone before the police arrive. So if guns are successfully taken away from the law-abiding people like the liberal left wants so badly, that only means that the criminals can get away with just about anything they want. The people be damned. It is time to stop this incessant intrusion into our lives by the American government, and it is time to start electing more people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee so we can be assured of a future that is in this country where our children will be safe from tyranny and their families can keep them safe by being able to protect them from the bad guys. Anything and everything the government attempts is usually a failure anyway, so why not put a stop to them doing the things to the American people they have been working towards? And what about those millions and millions of rounds of ammo the government has been buying? That is the subject of another thought for a day, isn't it? Maybe next week. We have to start thinking long and hard on what our government is doing. Lady Michelle, in the chat room is talking about something going on in New Hampshire. And it probably has a lot to do with the illegals. It seemed like when I was growing up, illegals were only in New Mexico and Arizona, and not too much elsewhere, but now we see them in places that never had them before. Montana, Wyoming, New Jersey and New Hampshire, and places of where they never were before. They're all over anymore. And my thinking on this whole thing about this thing I told you about the terrorists being in America, I think they're all over too. I really do. And they're just sitting waiting for the order to start something. But I also think that they're not quite sure how many of us have guns and how many of us will fight them. And it's like, you know, Lady Michelle in the chat room said, we don't need no stinking illegals. We need our laws to be enforced, and we need less government. How true. How true. Our lineup of shows on CNM now, we have some great ones where we start the week on Sundays with Michael Berryman's show, which is The Old Soldier of Patriotism, airing 4 to 6 p.m. on Sundays, as tomorrow. And also tomorrow, American by Design with Bing Fisher from 6 to 8. On Tuesdays, we have Inside Tennessee. He used to be on Mondays. Now he's on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesdays, we have The Real Radio Free America with Duke Brooks from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, we have the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky from 8 to 10. And, of course, on Saturdays, you have yours truly, the infidel from behind the silver microphone of freedom and the voice of reason with this, in this unreasonable world. We may be having some change arounds here. We've got a couple of days when there are two shows, and we have gotten rid of the second network, so those two shows on Sunday and, well, we're going to have moving like American by Design to either Monday or Friday, so I'm sure that's going to be happening. So we'll have one show on Sunday when that all takes place. I'm not sure where American by Design or Michael Bierman's show is going to go. One of them's going to stay on Sunday. But all this is on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins, and we always do, always have. I do not accept the world as I see it, but as God meant it to be, and I am determined to help return us to the recipe that made America great. I choose not to sit on my couch and complain as I watch things happening. We are at a crossroads in restoring our constitutional republic, and the left does not anger me. And I will not give them that kind of power over me. They only bug me, to say the least. We must take responsibility for our freedom. We must secure liberty by changing reality and promoting our attitudes and beliefs. We must rid ourselves of self-defeating attitudes and behaviors and replace them with constructive ones. We must actively change culture, for that is where the liberals have it over us for now. I know that can be done. Until next week, God bless us all. And I hope to see everyone next week, and see you later. Have a good day. God bless. God bless you all.